You may be seated. Please find in your Bibles the little book of Lamentations, just beyond the book of Jeremiah. I invite your attention to chapter 2 and verse number 19 this evening. Lamentations 2 and verse 19. Jeremiah says, "Arise, cry out in the night. In the beginning of the watches, pour out thine heart like water before the face of the Lord. Lift up thy hands toward him for the life of thy young children that faint for hunger in the top of every street." Let us pray. Father, I pray tonight that you will own this service. Thy Holy Spirit will do his office work. Touch our hearts, claim our attention, strengthen us, and help us to see what our great need is in this hour. Please, Lord, forgive our sins and anything about us not becoming your children. And help us tonight to be all that you want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. As we consider our lives and the situation in our society today, I'm sure that if I could talk with each of you in private, you would each one tell me something of a major concern that you might have right now in the direction our nation is going, in the upheaval in politics. Who do you vote for? Is there any hope for our nation? Jeremiah has been called the weeping prophet, and rightly so. He pens these words, and he's not only the weeping prophet himself, but he's calling upon God's people to also cry out. I think there is a need today for God's people to pray. Amen. To seek the face of the Lord. When we consider how many souls are being lost and going out to meet God unprepared, and how few there are who cry or who mourn or who pray over them. I had a lady tell me this morning leaving the service that it was all she could do to just sit in her seat. She said, "My children, my children." And so tonight we come before you, I think, constrained in much the same way as the Apostle Paul when he says, "Woe is me if I preach not the gospel." These are difficult days. These are perilous times. The greatest need of this hour, I believe, is for a God-sent revival that will save souls and change the moral fabric of America and ultimately the world. Today, I'm more deeply convinced than ever of the fact that revival is our desperate and dire need. No one can truthfully deny that there is going on right this moment a rapid decline in the spiritual life of our nation. our Congress with the House of Representatives and senators constantly passing laws legalizing sin and making legal that which God calls an abomination. And we have coined a new word in our society called religious consumerism. Religious consumerism has replaced Christ-centered, Bible-believing, New Testament Christianity. You just do what feels good and what people want to hear, and you bring a message that is pleasing to the ear, pleasing to the world, in order to get the world to come in. The problem is the world comes in and they leave the same way they came, without being converted. Entertainment, Broadway productions, and pragmatism have all but eliminated old-fashioned preaching and godliness and prayer and the call for holiness in many religious circles. The electric church, with its multimedia manipulation, has nearly eradicated the local visible New Testament assembly in the minds of most Christians. And in addition, a soft sale marketing plan has removed repentance and death to self and individual holiness from the plan of God for mankind. The clock is ticking, and the rush toward Armageddon has begun. The love of self has opened the floodgate to every conceivable iniquity imaginable upon America. We are now engaged in the spiritual battle for the souls of an entire generation. The sad reality is that we are losing this battle by attrition. And though we praise God for every soul saved, our losses are far exceeding our gains. Dalton Heath last Sunday made reference to the graying of missionaries and how that most of your missionaries are older people now. Not many younger people are answering the call to the ministry or full-time Christian service or mission work of any kind. Like a toddler about to fall down a long flight of steps, for too long we have teetered on the brink of divine displeasure. The only hope for our generation is revival. A turning back to God. I think it's revival or removal. It's revival or replacement. It's revival or retribution. America must have revival for survival. In Psalms 90 and verse 3, the psalmist said, "Thou turnest men to destruction and sayest, return ye children of men." How many already this year have departed? In this service already we have spoken of 5 deaths this past week. Where would we be if this were our case? 2 of the 5 went to sleep, relatively young people, and did not wake up. The story goes that Miss Bird had two of her little girls with her in the motel room. Neither was tall enough to reach the safety latch on the door. And when Mark called out of town checking on them, could not get her, found out through the children that we can't make mommy wake up. And so Mark called the motel manager and had him to go check. Could not get in because of the latch, and the little children weren't tall enough to unlock the door. I understand ended up breaking down the door to get in, and found her unresponsive. If you tonight went to sleep and didn't wake up, where would you be? We'd like to say heaven, wouldn't we? But you know what? Some of the people who go to sleep and don't wake up don't go to heaven. I fear that many who pass away in their sleep enter into the fires of that place called hell and begin their never-ending torment. Can it be said of all of us for a certainty that if we died tonight, we would go to heaven? Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Can we say we're there tonight? Are we in the center of God's will for our lives? Do we fear God? Do we keep his commandments? Do we love him with all of our heart? Psalms 90 and verse 10 says, the days of our years are 70, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Where do we fly to? Is it upwards that we wing our way on more than eagle's wings to realms of joy unknown? Or is it downward that we sink with all of our sins about our necks like millstones? Oh, shall we go down, down, down till, like the rich man in Luke 16, in hell we lift up our eyes being in torment? Psalms 90 and 11 says, who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. In other words, let us measure out our time, church, that we may apply our hearts unto Jesus Christ our Lord, who is our true wisdom, that we may live for him, that we may be assured of our salvation. Not only our salvation, but the salvation of our children. You see, we don't live alone and we don't die alone. Our life is influencing someone else's life, either toward heaven or toward hell. Why is it Why is it tonight, as we look at the